This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Chatting with Rocky Seto today on Hope 103.2. He is the defensive coach for the Seattle Seahawks. Previous to that, a USC coach, won Super Bowl 48. Hi there, Rocky. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And it's awesome to talk to brothers and sisters around the globe. So thanks for having me.
Hey, man, listen, I'm having a little bit of a fanboy moment because you actually technically are Legion of Boom, right?
No, I'm not. I just got to be part of it and got to help contribute to it. But, we were blessed with some incredible coaches and players in that defense, that's for sure.
And Rocky, I mean, for the people who are uninitiated with the appeal of Super Bowl, I'm not going to totally put my hand up for that because the thing I love about Super Bowl is getting to hang with friends, let's eat hot dogs, and let's put up a big bowl of nachos. But for someone like yourself to give a part of your life to this massive phenomenon that is the Super Bowl in sport, what was it that first drew you in? What's its attraction for you?
Well, in terms of football, I mean, in America, football, that's America's game, and very unique to our sport, to our country, but which we learn from a lot of other countries. But I tell you, that's the dream of every boy who grows up playing football, to be somehow be associated with the Super Bowl someday, to win it. And that was ridiculous. I mean, that was 2013. The Lord just allowed us to just blow right through that and really blessed our team to win. And it was all places in New York, and it was incredible. And it was like, just to recount, it was the highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL versus the top defense in the NFL, and it worked out great. Praise God. So it was incredible. It was a dream come true.
Rocky, it's one of the most painful moments in my life because I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan and spent 5 years living there. But thanks for dredging that up for me, man. It was an amazing moment. Hey, listen, man, you have climbed to the top of the mountain and won a Super Bowl. What could be better than that moment?
Well, you know, this is the thing. You know, the Lord led me to say this 2013 that Jesus is better than the Super Bowl. What I mean by that, the Super Bowl is so iconic to our country, meaning it's everything. I mean, players who have been the greatest players, if they've never won a Super Bowl, they always got like an asterisk by their name, but he never won a Super Bowl. Like, you know, I think players are judged unfairly and coaches are judged unfairly because of it, but it's still iconic. It's like, it's an idol for our country, you know, meaning if I only had this thing, I'd be set. And so basically, when I said Jesus is better than a Super Bowl, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is better than anything that could be your own personal Super Bowl. You know, for a businessman, they may be having a certain job. For a mom or dad, they may be raising the perfect kids, or going to the perfect college or the university, all those things. All those things are good things in themselves, but none of them fulfill you like Jesus does. Because in the end, I'm so convinced. I mean, the Bible talks about it. None of that's going to matter. They're not going to be asking me, hey, Rocky, you know, when I see Jesus for the first time, when I see his eyes, a flame of fire, he's glowing like the sun. He's not going to say, hey, Rocky, how'd you stop Peyton Manning Super Bowl 48? None of that's going to come up, you know. Only thing that's going to come up is, do you know me as your Lord and Savior? And that's all that's going to matter. So that's why Jesus is better than the Super Bowl, or Jesus is better than your Super Bowl, whatever that may be, you know.
Well, and for you, if my understanding's right, that kind of revelation actually led you to step away from coaching in the NFL and get into full-time ministry. Is that right?
Well, partly. I mean, I always, this is the thing, Duncan, like, I always saw coaching as an opportunity to minister. You know, what I mean by that is, you know, when you're a Seahawks football coach, the people let you into prisons and you start preaching to the prisoners. They let you into schools and you start preaching to the kids. They let you into hospitals and start preaching about Jesus. So you have this incredible access to people just because you're an NFL football coach, okay? And so that's part of the appeal of being a coach. But in the end, I just had this strong desire to preach the word and just serve as a pastor. And I want to make a correction. You know, some people have said, hey, you've made the ultimate sacrifice and took on the ultimate calling. You know what? If the Lord told me to stay in in coaching, that would have been the ultimate calling. You know, if I'm in radio, that's the ultimate calling. If I'm a gardener, that's the ultimate calling. It just happens uniquely for our family. God's called us to full-time pastoral ministry. So, I mean, it just was a desire, Duncan, that's been, I thought of wanting to be a pastor even as a boy, but in more intensively over the last 7 years. And then that's what happened. Yep.
Sorry, I imagine for you in the place of ministry that you hold, you are talking to a lot of people in hospitals, et cetera, that you mentioned, but also there's that relationship to the players as well. And for those guys who, like you say, they have such a demand on them to perform, and that is very, you know, it's got to be on paper, you've got to see the results, but then you're coupling that with this idea of taking a rest in Jesus and having a bigger sense of ultimate purpose. How did you communicate that balance of the two and find that sweet spot in the middle of public success but private satisfaction?
Yeah, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about this. If, you know, the brothers and sisters out there, I'd encourage you to study the book of Daniel. How did Daniel navigate in a pagan culture with high demands and results-oriented? And essentially, the reason, if you translate that to football, the reason why we all get football is because we agree to be great at football. Okay, so whether you're a player, a coach, administrator, whatever. And in that role, if I'm able to help somebody become as good as they could become in football, that develops a relationship, okay? So if I prove myself to be helpful, I prove myself to have integrity, to be trustworthy with someone, all of a sudden questions turn from how do I tackle this guy to, hey, this is what's going on. Or what does the Bible say about this Rocky? And all of a sudden the Lord opens up opportunities to disciple people. Okay, and bottom line, we're all missionaries, whether we're in the National Football League or we're on the mission fields abroad. You know, we're missionaries, and you're looking for an opportunity to minister the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And a friend of mine who's a pastor said this to me. You know, he was an outreach pastor at one of the churches I used to attend, and he said, on the mission field, it isn't good enough that you give somebody a bowl of rice or clean water. The reason why you give them a bowl of rice or clean water to bridge the gap so that you can share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all called to do. That's called the Great Commission. And Matthew, Jesus talks about us making disciples. And so I think that it was built in, you know, like you're talking about. It's just hanging out with guys constantly living and preparing and working and winning and losing, and just creates opportunities to disciple people. And it doesn't matter if you're in the office or someplace else in the classroom, you always have an opportunity to look for opportunities to disciple people.
Yeah. Now, Rocky, listen, for a person who is in the office, your platform for sharing Jesus has been really different. I mean, surely if you've shared the good news of Jesus with a 300-pound offensive lineman, you can share Jesus with anybody, right?
That's right. And, you know, the funny thing is, interesting thing, Coach Carroll actually gave me some time to address the team before I left. And this was after our last game. And then it was on a Sunday, it's kind of an exit meeting. And basically what I shared was the gospel. And to every single player, coach, and staff in the organization. And the interesting thing, Duncan, you know what? That's the exact same message I shared in prison. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if you're in the National Football League making millions of dollars. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. So what I would say about that is this. The fear of man, what I mean by that is being rejected, people denying you, that shouldn't hold us back, because our job isn't to convert anybody. Our job is just to be obedient and to share the gospel, and that's success. Like I try to share this with people. If you're a basketball player and you knew you're going to make every single shot every time you go on the basketball court, I'd say, why don't you shoot as much as you can? And they go, yeah. And it's the same thing. It's our job is not to actually convert people. Our job is just to share the gospel. Every time we do that, that pleases the Lord. Every time the Lord is talked about, that gives honor and glory to the Lord. That's a successful day, I'd say. So that's my encouragement to the brothers and sisters who may be struggling a little bit about being open about their faith.
Yeah, and surely, Rocky, you must have watched a little bit of Australian rugby, right? Because even though the Super Bowl is big in America, surely it is the Aussie rugby players that really know how it's done.
Mate, we invented shoulder tackling, right?
You know, that's interesting. We've used many clips to help teach it through our Seahawks players, and the story goes this, okay? People have asked me, like, how did you guys come up with the shoulder tackling system? Okay, we had this system that we're teaching at the time at the University of Southern California, and what happened was we had a visitor from, sorry, not Australia, but England.
Close enough.
They're like the third best tacklers in the world.
That's our
come
motherland.
On.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know, you got the same colors in the flag, you know. So, but this guy, his name is Kit Lawson, and he came from Birmingham University. He's an Englishman, and he was just talking to me. How do you show, you know, just showing him how we tackle. And all he said is, this is the Lord. He said this, oh, all that is a rugby tackle. And the Lord put it in my mind, right? We got to teach this style of tackling and show the rugby, tough and rugged rugby guys hitting each other with shorts and T-shirts, knocking each other down and getting right back up. And that really helped. I really believe that helped our players translate. Oh, yeah, I guess we don't have to get our head in there. We can just hit them with their shoulder, still knock them down, and then keep our heads as safe as possible. You know, so definitely the rugby illustrations have been huge in helping us to teach this to the world of football.
So we can claim every Super Bowl success, particularly Tom Brady's, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's just, you know, I'll say this much. Since the game of football came from the game of rugby, that's really just taking it back to the old school. And I think this is, honestly, as much as I love the game of football is in big distress right now. And what I mean by that is the health concerns are there. And
yeah,
the fundamentals of tackling safely is really going to help save the game of American football. It really is. And so I believe this is the biggest contribution to the game that Coach Carroll will ever have. I mean, it doesn't matter how many games he wins after this season or how many championships or whatever, how many books he writes, but the biggest contribution he's going to have to the game is introducing and lending itself to the world of football by shoulder tackling based on leverage. And I just feel so privileged, and I thank the Lord that I was able to be part of it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Rocky, for taking the time to talk to us today. Really appreciate it, mate.
No, God bless you guys, and thank you for being about Jesus down under. So I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, mate.
Awesome. Thanks, Rocky. Okay. We'll see you later.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.